All right, now let's turn in our Bibles to let's start at John chapter 3. That's our starting scripture. Amen. The Gospel of John chapter 3. Okay. John's Gospel. And why am I in Acts? Yes, John. Okay. John's Gospel chapter 3. I'm reading from the King James. I want you to read along with me with other whatever version you have. Amen. Are you there now? Okay, let's read John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. Isn't that good?
Yes.
Now, we're going to come back to that scripture later on in this message. Now, what I want you to do, here's where we're going to start off at. Turn to Mark's Gospel, the Gospel of Mark. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 16. Mark's Gospel, chapter 16. And we're going to read verses 15 through 18. Now, many of us are familiar with those verses, right? That's referred to as what? The Great Commission, right? All right, but now let's read this, okay? Now, I'm reading from the King James. I want you to read along with me, okay? And he says this, and he said unto them, Jesus, go ye into where? All the world, and do what? Preach the gospel to who? Every creature. He that believeth is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be what? Damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and what's going to happen? They shall recover. Now, that's the Great Commission that Jesus gave. Now, remember, Jesus gave this to his disciples, I would say 40 days after his resurrection, because he was getting ready to ascend. So, in other words, what Jesus was giving to his disciples was last-minute instructions or pertinent instructions. Would you agree? If you're about to depart on a big journey and you're leaving, you're entrusting everything to those who you've been training for years, wouldn't it be important that what he said to them was very important? You would say that, right? So the Great Commission is not an option. So what Jesus was saying was talking about this Great Commission, right? Now, when we in the church, when we think about the Great Commission, it falls under the umbrella of what we call evangelism, right? So what we're going to talk about tonight, I'm going to talk with you tonight about evangelism, okay? That's the lesson for tonight. Evangelism fulfilling the Great Commission. Okay, that's the name of the topic of our lesson tonight. Now, in evangelism, there's different areas in evangelism. It's not just one topic and one thing. For example, there's missionaries. Missionaries go to other countries. That's an evangelistic outreach, right? Some people go and visit prisons, right? That's an evangelistic outreach. Some people visit hospitals, right? That's an evangelistic outreach. And then we have those that are in the fivefold ministry office of an evangelist. They hold big campaign meetings in countries all around the world, right? So there's different types of evangelistic outreaches. Would you agree? But what we're going to look at tonight, here's what we're going to look at tonight. Tonight, we're going to look at the evangelism from our focus tonight is going to be on the local church. Every church should be involved in evangelism. You got that? Every church. All right? So now what we're going to do tonight is we're going to look at this. We're going to look at the local church, but really we're going to talk a little bit more about personal evangelism. Now, there's other areas and topics that I can talk with you about evangelism, but I can't go into it tonight. So don't think that tonight what I'm sharing with you is all there is to know about evangelism. Everyone got that? All right. Now, let's go back to our scripture, Mark chapter 16. Look at verse 15. What did Jesus say? Go where? Go where? Into all the world. Now, here's what I found, you know, being a Christian. I found that a lot of the church goes into itself. We go into all the churches. Jesus didn't say that. Jesus did not say go into all the churches. How many of you know that inbreeding is not healthy? You got that? Everyone know what I mean when I'm talking about inbreeding? Sometimes you got to go outside, okay? So now keep this in mind. Go into where? All the world. Now that word world in the Greek is the word cosmos, right? Now, just for definition for us tonight, it's an orderly arrangement. Cosmos in the Greek is orderly arrangement implied with the world as wide as the world is, or even when you look at the world from a narrow sense, right? In other words, cosmos could mean not the geographical world, but the worlds that are in the world. Like I'll give you an example, like its inhabitants, right? Now think about it this way. The world of education. How many of you are involved in education? Okay, thank you. Put your hands down. The world of health. How many of you involved in health? Put your hands down. Okay. How many of you involved in legal? The world of legal. The world of law enforcement. The world of retail. The world of media. The world of politics. See, there's a lot of different worlds. So what Jesus said to go where? Into all the worlds. So the church is not to go into itself, but to go where? Into all the worlds, right? So I want you to understand that where you are right now, whether it's your occupation, where you are right now, that's your world. If you're in law enforcement, that's your world. But I want you to think about it this way too. Not only is it your world, but it's your mission field. Everyone understand? It's your mission field. See, many times when we think about going into the mission field, we want to go to the Philippines, we want to go to Hong Kong, we want to go to China, but we don't want to go across Route 59. You follow?
Yes.
So the mission field is where you are. Now, God does send you, and thank God, we do have people that do go to the Philippines. We have people that do go to China. We have people that do go to all these other places. But right now, your mission field is where you're at. And if you say, well, I'm retired and I'm living in a retirement village, that's your mission field. If you're a daycare worker working with little kids, that's your mission field. So now we're to go into all the world. Now we're to go into all the world and do what? What does it say? Go into all the world and do what? Preach. Hold on, preach. We're to go into all the world and preach. Now that word preach, I'm going to break that down for you, okay? That word preach in the Greek is the word keruso. Keruso, okay? It means this, to be a herald. Do you know what a herald is? H-E-R-A-L-D. A herald is a person. A herald? A herald is a person that announces, a crier, a proclaimer. We are to be heralds of the kingdom of God. So we are to go where? Into all our worlds as heralds, as messengers of the kingdom. Now, we are to be messengers of the kingdom, right? Now, what is our message? Come on, my A students, look right down there. The what? Okay, now, listen, we are to go into all the world and preach, right? As heralds, as messengers of the kingdom. And we are to preach what? The gospel. Now, that word gospel, if you break that word down, I'm going slow with this because I want you to get this. That word is evangeliso. Now, that word evangeliso means to announce good news. So now the gospel is not, hey, sinner, you're going to hell. That's not the gospel. That's a result of not obeying the gospel, but that's not the gospel. That's not our message. What is our message? Right over there. For God so loved the world that he did what? That he gave. What did he give? His only begotten son. Why? That whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Now, we are to proclaim that wherever we go. Now, let me read that same passage of scripture in the Passion. I want to read John 3:16 in the Passion because I like how it makes it, you know, it doesn't sound King Jamesy, but it gives us a little bit of understanding. So, in other words, we are to go into all of our worlds, preaching, proclaiming as messengers of the kingdom, this message, for this is how much God loved the world. He gave his one and only, his unique son as a gift. Got that? So now everyone who believes in him will never perish, but experience what? Everlasting life. Now, isn't that an easy message? Isn't that easy to proclaim where you're at to people, reaching out to them? That's simple, right? That sounds real simple, right? So in other words, the message of the gospel is what? Good news. Everyone say the gospel is good news. Now we are to publish this good news. Now I want to share something with you. I'm going to a little side journey here. I know some of you don't know of this person, but I'm going to mention the name of a person who was one of my mentors when I first got saved as a Christian in my early years. His name was Rupert Bingham. None of you ever heard of him, right? Rupert Bingham? You never heard of him. Okay. Well, let me tell you about him. In the church, we call him Brother Bingham. Now, Brother Bingham was not a large man. He was about a little bit taller than Brother Tom there. But he would faithfully and diligently play the organ in our church. He was quiet, unassuming, and his wife played the piano. So they both played Elsie Bingham. She played the piano. He played the organ in our traditional church, right? Now, the interesting thing about Brother Bingham was this. Once a month in the church I came out of, Fellowship Chapel, once a month they would go down to the Bowery Mission. Now, I just got saved. I was new. I didn't know nothing. So I asked Valerie one time. I said, Valerie, they're going down to the Bowery. What do they do down to the Bowery? She said, why don't you go ask them and find out, right? So I spoke to Brother Bingham. He said, sure, come with us. Well, Brother Bingham and a group of other people in the church. Now, how many of you know where the Bowery Mission is, right? Are you familiar? The Bowery Mission is, I didn't know it at the time. It's world renowned. Okay? So anyway, he coordinated with one of the people, and we would go down once a month, and they would hold evangelistic services for the people, the homeless men and women that were there in the Bowery Mission. Now, when I went down, all I did, because I didn't know much, all I would do is, you know, I would read the scripture that they would have us to read, or I would open in prayer. That's all I did. Now, Brother Bingham, when he got to the podium, he, you know, it's like Superman, Clark Kent, and now Superman, but not Superman in a loud shouting, and I'm not against loud shouting, no, but clearly, concisely, sharing about the love of God, proclaiming, he was a herald of the messenger of the kingdom of God, telling these people that were in the Bowery Mission. And I was shocked because I always thought of the Bowery Mission old guys, but there were young kids, young men and women in there. And this would be down and out, but we were lifting them up. So anyway, I say all that to say this. I became a part of that, and I would go and be a part of the Bowery Mission. Well, anyway, I read a book one time. I don't know if you know this author. His name was called Tom Skinner. Any of you heard of Tom Skinner? Oh, you heard of Tom Skinner, right? Well, Tom Skinner was a black man who was an evangelist. And he was known to have, they had a Harlem, in Apollo Theater, the Harlem Revivals. They had a revival in Harlem in the 60s, where it was for weeks. And I read his book, and he was talking about how the Spirit of God was pouring out in the place, and people were getting saved every night, and the glory was there, right? But then he said, but it couldn't have been done if it weren't for certain key people on his ministry team. And one of the names he had was Rupert Bingham. I said, what? I said, wait, Rupert Bingham? Brother Bingham was involved in the Harlem Revival? So I ran over to Brother Bingham that Sunday. I said, Brother Bingham, you were part of the Harlem Revival? He said, yeah, I was with some other people. And he said, well, here's what happened. We were all from different backgrounds, but we all came together for a common purpose, and God blessed it. So in my mind, remember, once again, I'm still new in this stuff. I'm still new. So I'm saying to myself, I said, well, wow, if Brother Bingham, if you can be a part of the Harlem Revival, the Bronx needs revival. We need to bring revival to the Bronx, Brother Bingham. Why don't we do something? And here's what he said to me, and I'll never forget this. He said it very clearly. He says, only God can bring a revival. He said, but men are to pray for revival. He said, we had nothing to do with the revival that happened. We were just there and was a part of it. He said, but men are to always pray for revival. Now, here's the most important thing that he ever shared with me, and I'm going to share with you tonight, about witnessing, about being a witness for Christ. Because this man, to me, typified that. Once again, he wasn't a loud, boisterous person. He doesn't shout. He doesn't do all of that. But he was a witness for Christ. Here's the word. Here's these three words he gave me. And I'm sharing with you tonight. He shared this with me. He said, live the life. He said, if ever you want to impact anybody for Jesus, live the life. So we're to live the life in front of them. Amen. In 2 Corinthians, the third chapter, the second verse, you don't have to turn there. The Apostle Paul said it this way. He said, for you are my epistle, or you are living epistles, known and read of all men. So I want to ask you this tonight. If we were to go, if we were to put a camera on you and take you to your mission field, what are the people around you reading? Are they reading an epistle? Or are they reading, you know, Days of Our Life? Or Time Magazine? No, but we are living epistles. Say that, living epistles. Living epistles. We are known and read by all men. See, whether you realize it or not, in your community right now, where you live, whether it's in the projects in Bushwick or whether it's in Upper Westchester, no matter where you are, Park Avenue, people have already read you. Yes, they know you. They know you either good or bad. So, you come here and we can do a little dance and do a little whatever. But when you go home, they know you. Okay. Right. But now here's what I want you. Here's what I want us to focus on tonight, though. We are known and read by men, right? So that's why it's important that we know the message of the gospel. Now, what's the message of the gospel? I know it's John 3:16, but here's the message of the gospel. I'm going to break it down into three things for you tonight. So that way, if you have to share with someone, it's real simple. The message of the gospel is threefold. For our sin, Jesus took what? Jesus took our sin that we can have what? His righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:21, he, God, had made him, Jesus, to be what? Sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might become what? The righteousness of God in him, in Christ. That's the first thing we need to share with people. See, you don't come to God and get good. You come to God, he makes us good. Because there was a great exchange. Everyone say great exchange. At the cross, there was a great exchange. The first one was Jesus took our sin. We have his righteousness. Amen? Now, the second thing that we can share with people, for those who are sick and dealing with disease, he bore our sickness and our disease. Did he not on the cross? Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. I just want you to see this in verse 24. Are you there? Now listen to what Peter says. He says, who his own self bared our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto what? Righteousness. By what? By whose stripes we were healed. So think of it this way. If we're dealing with sickness and disease in our body and we're carrying it, Jesus already bore it for us. So we don't have to bear it. Now, that doesn't mean those symptoms are not trying to attach itself to your body, but you have to tell your body there was a great exchange. The great exchange at the cross was he took not only my sin, he took my sickness. He took my disease. So there's an exchange. He bore it, so I don't have to bear it. Everyone got that? Now, the third one is this. For our poverty, he gave us what? Riches. Turn to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. Look at this. Paul is saying this, Paul the apostle. So he says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became what? Poor, that you through his poverty might become what? Rich. So now think about it this way. These three things, isn't that what the world needs?
Yes.
Now let me go a little bit further. We are, you know, and I want you to see this. The key, going back to the Mark chapter 16, right? Mark chapter 16, part of the Great Commission. Verse 16 says this. He that believes and is baptized is what? Saved. So in other words, we are not to coerce people. We're not to force them. And we're not to scare them into it. I remember I heard A. Cole say this. He said, if you scare people into the kingdom, the devil will scare them out. They have to do what? Believe. But now here's the beauty of it. The beauty of it is this. The gospel, as we share the gospel is what? The power of God. Turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. We're talking about evangelism and we're talking about fulfilling the Great Commission. Amen? Romans chapter 1, are you there? Look at verse 16. Now, I want you to look at it with me and read it with me. Now, listen, this is the Apostle Paul talking, right? Listen to what he says. Are you there? Yes. I'm reading from the King James. Read along with me. He says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is what? It's the power of God unto what? Salvation. To everyone that does what? Believes. To the Jew first and also to the Greek." But notice what Paul said. He said, "I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel." The gospel is the good news, right? He said, "I'm not ashamed of the good news." Because when we share the good news, guess what's happening? The power of God is going to be where? In manifestation. See? You're getting quiet out there. You're getting real quiet. Now turn to 1 Corinthians. Now Paul just didn't say it one time. It wasn't a one and done proposition. Turn to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, the first chapter. And let's look what he said to the church in Corinth. And this is Paul speaking again, right? Now look at what he says, beginning at verse 17, chapter 1, verse 17. He says, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to do what? To preach." In other words, to be a herald, to be a messenger of the kingdom, right? With what? The gospel, the good news, right? "Not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be what? Made of what? None effect." Verse 18, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is what? It is the power of God." You understand that? So CNN, Fox, and all those other TV shows or stations may not understand the gospel. They're saying, "What, you mean to tell me you're spending all that money to do what? To share the what?" But the gospel is what? The power of God. That's the power of God, right? Now that we have that established, I want you to look at something here. I saw in an article, I was looking in the internet, and this article popped up, a Christian article, and the article popped up and said, because of the digital age and the age of communication and Facebook and all of this, it said, "Is evangelism outdated and dead?" I want to ask you, is it? But according to this Christian magazine, it said, because of the advent of communications with Facebook, Twitter, and all this, is the mode of evangelism dead? And no, right? Okay, now let's look at something here. I like to listen to what Jesus says. Now, and you don't have to turn it, but I'm just going to quote these because I want to move along. In Luke chapter 10, verse 2, Jesus was talking about the harvest, right? In Luke chapter 10, verse 2, he says, "The harvest is truly great," right? In Matthew chapter 9, verse 37, Jesus made reference to the harvest as being plenteous. Yes. Got that? And in John chapter 4, verse 35, Jesus said the harvest was white and ready. The wheat was white and ready to harvest. So now, There's that magazine article, and here's Jesus. Jesus is saying the harvest is what? Ready, right? Jesus said that the harvest is ripe. Now, I want to give you some stats. Just listen to these stats real quick. This stat was taken from a poll, a survey in 2013, about 6 years ago. So there's probably, I think it may be worse if not better. But listen to this. It's referring to in the United States, America, right? 37% of Americans attend church on a weekly basis. 37% of Americans attend church on a weekly basis. Now, I'm not a math major, but that's telling me 63% is not attending on a weekly basis, right? Now, I could ask this crowd how many you attend on a weekly basis, but I'm not going to ask that, right? But now, here's another stat. 32% or one-third of U.S. adults believe in a higher power of some kind, but not in the God as described in the Bible. Did you hear that? 32% of U.S. adults believe in a higher power of some kind, but not in the God as described in the Bible. So you think that's a harvest? Yeah. Think that's an opportunity? Now look at this. 20 out of the 32, 23% believe in some higher power. They just don't know what it is. Now here's this one. 19% just don't believe, period. Is there a harvest in the United States?
Yes.
Now the study goes over to the other one. Now look, listen to the world. Now this, they type this way. In other words, non-religious groups. In other words, these group of people have no religious affiliation. They were kind of like me before I got saved. I had no religious affiliation, so I wasn't Baptist. I wasn't nothing. Then now listen to this. The Czech Republic. 75% of the Czech Republic has a non-religious, they consider themselves non-religious. 75%. That sounds like a harvest?
Yes, sir.
Estonia. 70% of Estonia, non-religious. Now, someone would say, oh, those are the Eastern Bloc communist countries, right? Okay, communists, right? But still, that's a staggering number, right? Now, listen to this one. The Netherlands. 68%. Non-religion. Now, the interesting thing about the Netherlands is this. They legalize prostitution. They legalize drugs. And they also legalize if, you know, you're old and you want to get along in life. What do they call it? Euthanasia? Yeah. You can kill people. You can kill yourself or someone can kill you. The family, you know, they don't want to put you in a nursing home. They just give you a pill and that's it. 68%. No gospel. No religious affiliation. Is the harvest ripe? And the last one is Vietnam. 63, it comes in 63%. So in other words, would you agree with me that according to this stat, the world does still need the gospel, right? Right? Big time. I like that. Now turn back to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. Go back to the... Now, what I want us to do, let's pick up at verse 19. I'll tell you what, let's read it all again, but we're going to go all the way to verse 20. Let's read the whole thing again. Ready? And he said unto them, go ye into where? All the world. Now, what's the world for us? Where you are, right? That's your mission field, right? So go into all the world and do what? What does preach mean? Proclaim as a herald, as a messenger of the kingdom. What are we going to proclaim? The gospel. What is the gospel? Good news to every creature. He that believes and baptized shall be saved, but he that believe not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall do what? Cast out devils. They shall speak with what? New tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now let me read that same passage. I want to read it from the Passion. He said this, and he said to them, go ye into all the world, preach openly the wonderful news of the gospel to the entire human race. Whoever believes the good news and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe the good news will be condemned. And these miracle signs will accompany those who believe. They will drive out demons in the power of my name. They will speak in tongues. They will be supernaturally protected from snakes and from drinking anything poisonous. They shall lay hands on the sick and heal them. Now, I want to read the footnotes from the Passion because I like how the author puts this. He says, or they will pick up snakes and be unharmed. Whatever poison they drink will not hurt them. Now, some scholars believe that this sentence contains two aromatic idioms. To pick up snakes could be a picture of overcoming one's enemies, snakes. And drinking poison may be speaking of dealing with attacks on one's character. Poisonous words. That's why some of y'all need to stay out of Facebook, right? But these things are not going to what? Harm us, right? Amen? You got that? Now, let's keep on reading here. Verse 19. So after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up to heaven, right? And sat on the right hand of God. Now, read verse 20 with me, and let's read it together. And they went forth and preached everywhere, and the Lord doing what? Working with them, confirming the word how? With signs. Now, listen. Who went with them? The Lord went with them as they were to go into all the world, preaching the gospel, right? Proclaiming the news of the kingdom. The Lord went with them. So in other words, we could say it this way. We said the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, right? But as we go in this great commission, we have the power of the Holy Spirit working within us and working with us. Everyone see that? Because the Lord was working with them. So if you're not doing anything, guess what? The Lord ain't doing anything. But if you're doing something, guess what? The Lord's going to do what? Working with you. Now, let me give you a definition. This is a definition I think we got years ago. I just kind of shaped it up for us for tonight. Here's a working definition we can use for evangelism, okay? If you want to write this down. Evangelism, preaching, proclaiming as a herald the gospel, the good news, in the power of the Holy Spirit and leaving the results to God. Let me say that again. Evangelism, preaching, proclaiming as a herald the gospel, the good news, in the power of the Holy Spirit and leaving the results to God. Amen? Now, I want to show you something. Let's see this in action, okay? Because if the Word of God shows us this in action, then we got something we can hook our faith into. Amen? So let's turn in our Bibles. Turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 8. Let's see, we're good on time, right? All right, we're good on time. We can go on this one here. Okay, Luke chapter 8. Now, what I want to do, this is the account, and we're going to pick it up in another passage, but I just want to just give it to you in Luke real quick here. Now, in Luke chapter 8, this is about, remember the demoniac of Gadara? Remember that guy? He was where? In the tombs, right? And what did he do? He cut himself, and they tried to put chains on him. He broke the chains and all this stuff, right? So now Jesus and his disciples came over to where he was, the Gerasenes, right? Now, look at verse 35. In Luke chapter 8, verse 35, he came to Jesus, right? And what happened? The demons called out, right, and said, you know, you're going to kick us out, but can we go somewhere, right? And what did he do? They went into the pigs, right? So now, let's pick this up at verse 35. Chapter 8, verse 35. And they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus. This is the town. The town came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were what? Afraid. And they which also saw it told them by what means he that was possessed of the devils was healed. And the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear. And he went into the ship and returned back again. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him, Jesus, that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, verse 39, return to your own house and show how great things God hath done for you. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done for him, right? Now, what I want to do, I'm going to read that same account in Mark's gospel, because Mark gives it a little bit more body to it, but I'm going to read it from the Passion. Okay, so Mark chapter 5, I'm going to read verse 1 to 20. So just listen to the story. And they arrived over to the other side of the lake at the region of the Gerasenes, and Jesus stepped ashore. Now notice, he just stepped ashore, and a demon-possessed madman came out of the graveyard and confronted him. The man had been living there among the tombs of the dead, and no one was able to restrain him, not even with chains. For every time they attempted to chain his hands and feet with shackles, he would snap the chains and break the shackles in pieces. He was so strong that no one had the power to subdue him. You get the picture? Day and night he would be found lurking in the cemetery or in the vicinity, shrieking and mangling himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran to him and threw himself down before him, screaming out at the top of his lungs, "Leave me alone, Jesus, Son of the Most High God, swearing God's name that you won't torture me." Now notice that demon knew the authority that Jesus had. Now, let's keep on going. So if he knows the authority that Jesus has, how much do you think he knows how much authority we have, right? Okay, he says, for Jesus had already said to him, come out of this man, you demon spirit. Jesus said to him, what is your name? Now, in the King James, it says legion, right? But here in the Passion, it says mob. We're a mob, he answers. They called me mob because there are thousands of us in his body. Thousands of demons in this one person's body. He begged Jesus repeatedly not to expel them out of the region. Nearby, there was a large herd of pigs feeding on the hillside. The demons begged him, "Send us into the pigs. Let us enter them." So Jesus gave them permission. Now, you ever notice when you eat ribs, sometimes you unsettling in your stomach? Could be some demons in there. That's a joke. But the demons were in these pigs, right? So Jesus gave them permission, and the demon horde immediately came out of the man and went into the pigs. Now, some of you ain't going to eat pork no more. No pork on my fork, right? And it caused the herd to rush madly down the steep slope and fall into the lake, drowning about 2,000 pigs, right? Depending on the weight and the cost of the 2,000 live pigs today, could be as much as $250,000. You got it? See now. I always wonder why. You know, they should be glad that, man, a demon came out of the guy. You know, and they telling Jesus to leave. Remember, the pigs in those societies were like the sanitation crew, so they just lost their whole sanitation department, right? And the cost of it was almost $250,000. The economic cost to the community over the loss of this herd was significant. Now the herdsmen fled to the nearby villages, telling everyone, "Hey, man, something jumped into the pigs. I guess they didn't want nothing to jump into the goats and sheep, right?" Now the herdmen fled to the nearby villages, telling everyone that what they saw as they ran through the countryside. And everyone came out to see what had happened. When they found Jesus, they saw the demonized man sitting there, properly clothed and in his right mind. Seeing what had happened to the man who had thousands of demons, the people were terrified. Those who had witnessed this miracle reported the news to the people and included what they had happened to the pigs. Then they asked Jesus to leave their region. Sound like a board meeting, right? Well, you know, safety. Okay. And as Jesus began to get to the boat to depart, the man who had been set free from the demons asked him, "Could I go with you?" Jesus answered no, but said to him, "Go back to your home and to your family." Now, here's something interesting. I didn't notice this. Where was the man when Jesus met him? Where was that man at? He's in the cemetery in the tombs. Where did Jesus send him to go? He didn't send him back to where he was, but he sent him back home. So he's sending him on a mission. So in other words, Jesus is sending him to do something, right? He's sending him with a commission, right? But now let's keep on going what he says. He says, "Go back home to your family and tell them what the Lord has done for you. Tell them how he had mercy on you." Now, what was the message Jesus gave him for that man? Go back to his home and friends and tell them what? What God did for him. Now, listen. Here, this is a wonderful example in evangelism, personal evangelism. All you got to do is just tell somebody what Jesus did for you. You follow it? You don't have to have, I hope none of us has this guy's testimony. Man, I had 1,000 demons in me. Can you imagine when he got home and they saw him? They said, "Jeff, you're back." He said, "Yeah, I had 1,000 demons in me, but Jesus delivered me and he had compassion on me," right? But notice what the man wanted to do. The man wanted to get in the boat with Jesus and be one of his disciples. But Jesus sent him to his town, right? So the man left and went into the region. So now listen, he didn't just stop in his town. The man went into the region of Jordan and parts of Syria. Now in the King James, it says Decapolis, right? Decapolis, that means 10 cities. So this guy went into 10 cities telling, that must mean he must have been a terror, right? Because if he went to those cities, he's telling them about what Jesus did for him. And the people marveled, okay? Do you got that? You see that? You see how the gospel works in sync? So all we have to do is share what Jesus did for us. So in other words, you have to go to your mission field. Now tomorrow when you wake up, when you leave here, you're going to go to your mission field, right? Your community, your workplace, or if you attend school, that's your workplace. Now, the Bible says this in Proverbs 11:20, the latter part of that, it says this. It says, he that winneth souls is wise. You got that? A soul winner. Proverbs 14:25, in the first part of it, says this. It says, a true witness delivers souls. So in other words, you sharing who you are and what God did for you, that's all you got to do. Just share what Jesus did for you. Now, I want to give you an example of what I'm talking about. When I lived in the Bronx, I lived in Kingsbridge. Now, on Kingsbridge, 193rd Street, there's a store. They have a lot of stores, bodegas, right? How many familiar with bodegas, right? Bodega. Now, this bodega was owned by Muslims, so it was a Muslim bodega, okay? Keep that in mind. Now, there was a guy that used to hang outside of it, and he was a terror. He would be hanging on a pole, and he would be cussing people out, saying terrible things to the women as they went by, very raunchy stuff. He was all swollen and had sores. He was homeless, and he would be cussing. And matter of fact, as we would go by, you see the police would frequent there many times to bring him in, because he would go into the bodega and take beer. You know, they just want to take beer and leave, but he'd take beer and harass people. So this guy was bad news, okay? So one night, I'll never forget, it was a Saturday, Valerie went to the store, right? And I think he was in there. Remember, he asked you. He said, he asked for me. He told Valerie, what did he say to you about? What did he say? Okay, well, here's what it was. I remember this part. He asked her, your husband, because we were coming up here. So Sunday morning, he would see us get in the cab with our family and come up here, right? So he asked my wife, he said something about, is your husband a preacher? Tell him I need to talk to him, right? So she comes in to me, right? Now, this is late Saturday night. So she comes in and says, oh, that guy, he's out there. He wants to talk to you, right? So I said, okay, I went out there. I said, I'll go out there and talk. So he's in the bodega, right? So I go into the bodega. He's there. And he looks at me, and he got the 40-ounce in his hand. And meanwhile, the two owners of the bodega, the Muslim guys, they're looking like they got to call the cops again because he's getting ready to go off. So anyway, he tells me, you a preacher? I said, yeah. I didn't back down. See, here's what happened. Real quick. Some of you said, well, no, I'm a Christian. I go to church. No, I didn't back down. I said, yeah, I'm a preacher. But here's where the Holy Spirit gave me the wisdom. He that winneth souls is wise. I shared this with him. I said, well, what's your name? He said, my name's Norman. I said, well, Norman, I wasn't always a preacher. I said, in fact, before I came to Jesus, I used to smoke dope, snort cocaine, drink everything in here, drink everything in the bottle, and chase women. He looked, no, man, not you. He's looking, no, not you. I said, yeah, me. I said, but here's the good news. Since I accepted Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior, he's delivered me from drugs. He's changed my life, turned my life around. He's given me a wonderful wife and family. And God is not a respecter of persons. He'll do the same for you. Would you like to receive him right now? And I put my hands out like this. Would you like to receive him right now? And he's looking, you mean right now? I said, yeah, right now. So he's looking around. He looked at the Muslim owners. They shook their head like. They want to get him out of here, right? They want to get him out of here. So here's what happened. So what I did was, here's what we're talking about. He that wins souls is wise. So God, here's what I'm saying. God gave me the opportunity and the privilege to lead that man into the kingdom of God. Norman accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. Now, he still had other things he had to work with, but that's when I would be working with him, and I gave him a Bible, and I would talk with him and all these other things. And I'll never forget, from that time forward, every time I walk out, people would come up to me. I had one guy come up late at night. Yeah, man, you words out in the street. You're the man to talk to. Listen, I got these voices talking to me, man. I got to get rid of these voices. I got to go to work tomorrow. So I'm praying for people. I'm trying to, where are these people? Where are they coming? Norman. Norman was, because he's homeless. And he went to this homeless group, and he was telling them. So I want to say it this way. So when we were getting ready to move up here, because I would see Norman from time to time, but I haven't seen him for a while. But I wanted to tell Norman, Norman, we're moving. You're not going to see me for a while. And I couldn't find him. Finally, the Holy Spirit told me. He said, he's no longer here. He's here with us. No, good. Good news. It's good. He made heaven. He made heaven, okay? So I want to say all that to say this. Listen, and there's many other stories, okay? There's many other things that each and every one of us can be a part of. But here's what I want to leave us with. Evangelism, right? Is we're to do what? Go where? Into all the world. Now that world is your mission field. And I want to say this because a lot of people say, well, you know, there's no Christians on my job and it's so hard. Hey, that's your mission field. That's opportunity. You know, it's an opportunity to turn it upside down, you know. But let me just say this. We are to go where? Into all the world, which is our mission field, right? And what are we to do? Preach what? We are to preach. We are to be like heralds. We are to be messengers of the kingdom. So if we're messengers, we have to have a message, right? And what is that message? The good news. There you go, the good news. And also what you do is you share. All you have to do is just share what Jesus did for you and how he had mercy on you. And you know what? You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised. And I want to close with this piece. When we talk about evangelism, when we talk about going outside the four walls of the church, you know, many times, if you look in your Bible, I did this look in the Bible. Don't you know that many of the gifts of the Spirit that operated were not in the synagogue? Was not in the church. Now, Paul talked about the gifts operating in the church, but if you look in the book of Acts, every miracle that happened didn't happen in church. They happened outside of the church. And here's what happens. When you start to get an understanding of this, and when you start having a compassion reaching out to people, the first thing all of them always ask me, after I'm ministering with them or ministering to them, where's your church? Where do you go to church? That's the number one thing they're always going to ask. So now let me just put it to you this. Now I'm going to put the responsibility on us. So if people are not coming here, it's not the pastor's fault. The pastor's fault is to feed the flock. Everyone see that? The pastor's job, that's their job description. Their job description is to feed the sheep. Sheep beget sheep. You follow that? I got news for you. In the natural, I don't want to have a shepherd that's, you know, mixing with sheep, right? We got a name for somebody like that, right? You'll get it later on. You get it on later. But the point I'm making is this. If there's no sheep in this fold, it's not because of the shepherds. It's because of who? The sheep. So now here's what I'm saying, and I'm not throwing a guilt trip on you. But here's the truth of the matter. I'm going to share this one. One time we were driving our car. One of Valerie's co-workers was in the car. She's in the back. We're on 96th Street. Light turned red. We're waiting for it to turn green. From the time, you know, in New York City, how short the lights are. She's on 96th. From that point in time, Valerie had the opportunity and took the opportunity to share with her co-worker the message of the gospel that she can receive, and she received before the light turned green.
That's right.
See? And then we put her in. Now, here's what happened. She accepted Christ, but it didn't stop there. She had a sister she was a twin. She had a sister, and they were close. So she shared with her sister. They shared with her sister. They shared with their families. They both had families. So you see how one little act, can turn things around. So don't underestimate the opportunities that God is going to set across your path. There is no such thing as, oh, that was only one person. One person is a life in the kingdom. It is awesome. So don't belittle yourselves. Don't belittle the fact that, oh, I only got one person. This is not Amway. You know, we're not trying to see how many we can, you know, we're not dive bombers. Nothing wrong with Amway. We're not dive bombers, you know. That's not what this is about. This is about lives. Lives that we can change. Lives that we are going to come in contact with. That's what Jesus said. Go into all the world. Go into all these worlds and do what? As a herald, as a messenger. Proclaim what? The gospel, the good news. So those that are lost, they can be saved. Those that are sick, they can be healed. Those that are poor, they don't have to be poor anymore. Everyone got that? That's the good news. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father God, I thank you for this message that you've given me to share with my brothers and sisters of Like Precious Faith. Father, thank you for the truth. Seal these truths to our hearts that the message of the gospel, the message of the gospel, you have commissioned and anointed and appointed each and every one of us to be your messengers of this kingdom. Father, I thank you. Holy Spirit, you work with us. You are the worker. You work with us, and you confirm the word with signs following.